to page two, side two. Before we get off onto the news, a couple of more things I want to talk about regarding the 11-4-11 and 8-11 date. And that is the references that the Lord Jesus Christ made to the Oriental wedding, where the bridegroom comes and picks up the bride and takes her back to the father's house for 7 days. Well, Daniel's 70th week is 7 days and 7 years, so we conclude then that the wedding celebration would take 7 years of time, which, of course, on earth would mean a long time, but in heaven, probably not much time at all. But anyway, it seems kind of odd. Those references keep popping up all the time, as does 411 marked in heavens. For what reason? You see, in the Oriental wedding, the bridegroom would go to the bride's house, and there she would drink a cup of wine, and that was almost the same thing as a marriage, not quite, but almost the same thing. And then he would leave to go build a house in the father's house or area. And what was interesting about that is that in the return covenant that the Lord Jesus Christ made with us, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, then I'm going to come back. This is how he worded it. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For my father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So that's the promise. I call it the return covenant. And it's based on the Oriental wedding, which gives more credence to the fact that the bride, the real bride of Christ, could well leave during the first few months of Daniel's 70th week. We also pointed out that the covenant of Antichrist is only a 7-year agreement, but it does not necessarily begin Daniel's 70th week. It can be signed or confirmed, actually, enforced would be a better word, anywhere along probably the first several years. Most likely the first year, but we don't know for sure. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that one to you, and then I wanted to bring to you two other things that are maybe of great interest, and one of those, of course, is Tetrad. The first blood-red moon occurred 15 April 2014, eclipse on Jewish Passover. It had big meaning because it was only 4 days after April 11th, 2014. Anyway, it's kind of interesting how all of this is going on and going down in front of people, and they just have no clue. Then we have Susan Boyle. I don't know if you remember her, but she came out on British Got Talent, a total unknown, unknown by anybody, and they mocked and they laughed at her until she began to sing. And she sang a song called I Dreamed a Dream. It was clearly anointed by the Lord as she sang that song to the entire world. And guess when she actually did it? April 11th, 2009. Now, on her blouse, she had a thing, or actually it was dangling off her necklace. It was a number that she was assigned, and it said 4321, which is a countdown. Now, normally in a countdown, you go 4-3-2-1-0, or blast off, if you're into rocketry. What would happen then if you took April 11th, 2009, and you used each number as a year, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Guess what? Brings you to 4/11/2014. I dreamed a dream. 5 is the number of redemption. Were we being told something all the way back then? I believe we were, but I can't prove it. I won't be able to prove it till the bride is gone. Then you'll be able to prove it. Well, it's also interesting that there was another young lady that came to worldwide prominence. Her name was Terri Schiavo. You may remember her. She was the wounded woman, mentally wounded. And the courts put her to death. The family fought and fought and fought, but the courts, including George W. Bush in the Supreme Court, ordered her death, basically. That death occurred on 3/31/2005. Now, Susan Boyle sang her swan song on 4/11/2009. The day count between those dates is 4 years and 11 days. It's another 4/11. Do you suppose we're being shown something with all these 4/11s appearing? Anyway, just a little bit of information there in case you like that sort of thing. Is it an arrow? Or is it an arrow pointing to something down the road? Or could it be the real thing? We don't know. Could be. Might not be. We just don't know. Anyway, on to the news. News is not good. In America, as America celebrates the 4th, Barack Obama lays the groundwork for civil war, not only in Texas and California. This has to do with the flooding of people across the borders. Now, this is very, very interesting. In lieu of Jeremiah the prophet, who said that he was going to fill America with men, and at the right time they were going to rise up, we have had reports right along of terrorists coming across our border, posing as Mexicans when they're not. Anyway, Obama's promise to fundamentally transform America has now been realized and kept. Let there be no misunderstanding. President Barack Hussein Obama has laid the groundwork for a civil war that is now about to blow the roof off this nation. He has opened the floodgates to hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens that include men, women, children, violent hardcore Mexican gang members, convicted drug smugglers, and Islamic terrorists. And he is doing it to fulfill his 2008 campaign promise to radically transform America. This is all on purpose, and he is daring you to stop him. In fact, he laughed at Bonner. Go ahead and sue me, he said. Go ahead. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Go ahead and sue me. Try and stop me. Anyway, the Daily Caller reports that the vast majority of the 50,000 unaccompanied youth and children, and by the way, all unvaccinated, and by the way, many of them carrying diseases, being shipped to every major city. We brought this up on our last global report. Perfect way to spread a pandemic. Perfect way then to come in and say everybody must be vaccinated. Anyway, he's doing it to fulfill his 2008 campaign promise to radically transform America. And he's doing it, folks. He is doing it. And a second New York Times report revealed that officials have brought or caught an additional 240,000 Central American migrants since April, and they are transporting them to their destinations throughout the United States. The deluge of 290,000 illegals so far are exploiting all the legal loopholes that allow them to get temporary permits to stay in the United States. Experts say that Obama's administration has failed to close those loopholes and is unlikely to deport more than a small percentage of them, despite the high unemployment rates among American Latino, American American, and white youth. and the strapped budgets of many cities and towns. The president's policy has caused protests by frightened citizens, but Obama's allies, such as La Raza, an ethnic lobby for Latinos, are eager to escalate the conflict, paint the protesters as racist. Protests may escalate before the November elections, if there even is a November election. Folks, Jeremiah said this was going to come. We are watching America destroyed. It's all going down. 2014 is a key year. That, I believe, is why April 11th was pointed out to us in the heavens, and I believe that April 11th was meant for 2014. I cannot prove it, but I feel it. Okay. From the Vatican, Pope Francis has lamented that abandoning of the traditionally Christian practice of not working on Sundays, and he says that it has a negative impact on families and friendships. Francis on Saturday traveled around the country, and he was in an agricultural region in the heart of southern Italy, where unemployment is chronically high. And while he said poor people need jobs to have dignity, he indicated that opening stores and other businesses on Sundays as a way to create jobs wasn't beneficial for society. Francis said the priority should not be economic, but human, and that stress should be on families and friendships, not commercial relationships. He added, maybe it's time to ask ourselves if working on Sundays is true freedom. He said that spending Sunday with family and friends is an ethical choice for faithful and non-faithful alike. Francis, who is 77, appeared to have bounced back from illnesses, which have caused him to cancel several appointments. Anyway, you'll spend more time with your kids. He said, well, sounds great, doesn't it? Well, there is a lady, and she's kind of a prophetess to the Seventh-day Adventists. But she had some very interesting things to say, and I'm not telling anybody to believe Ellen G. White. But one of the things she did say was that soon we were going to be enforced. You could not do any commercial work on Sundays. Kind of interesting that she would say that. Global warming computer models are confounded as Antarctic sea ice hits new record high with 2.1 million square miles more than usual for this time of year. And that's kind of interesting because the UN computer models say the Antarctic ice should be in decline, not increasing. We brought you this news last week, and I just wanted to emphasize the fact of what can happen when you get severe imbalance at either pole. Well, things sometimes go bad for planet Earth, and this increasing of ice in one section of Antarctica, the decreasing of ice in other sections, could very well, with the passing of a space body, be the instrument that overturns this planet. A crustal shift, it's called. It literally means that the Earth turns over, it flips over. Isaiah chapter 24, if you want to read about it. Very few people would survive such an event. It is a tragic event for global civilization because, well, it eliminates it. Now, if any of you saw the movie 2012, some of that was quite realistic and actually followed prophecies from Jeremiah and other places. The one special scene in that movie that was extremely realistic was the one with the monk up in the mountains of Tibet, watching the ocean advance towards him over the mountains. Jeremiah says that's exactly what happens. The oceans, in a pole shift, lift out of their beds and wash over the continents. You have to remember two things. The air is not attached to the ground, and the oceans do not necessarily follow when the crust starts to move. It apparently moves quite abruptly. The atmosphere cannot keep up with the surface. It starts to roll back. Tremendous roll clouds, tremendous tornadoes and hurricanes would form. It would be totally disastrous. Winds would be in excess probably of 1,200 miles an hour. It just about wipes out anything in its path. The only people that are safe in those kind of things are those that live by the pivot point. I believe the pivot point is around the pyramids in Israel. That area would be in the pivot point. Anyway, this ice growth is by far at the highest level since satellite observations began in 1979. The extent of the ice cover is hugely significant. It represents the latest stage in a trend that started 10 years ago and means that an area the size of Greenland, which would normally be open water, is now frozen. The Antarctic surge is so big that overall, through Arctic ice has decreased. The frozen area around poles is 1 million square kilometers more than a long-term average. The UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change admitted that the computer models on which scientists based their projections say the Antarctic ice should be in decline, not increasing. There is low confidence in the scientific understanding of the observed increase in Antarctic ice due to incomplete and competing scientific explanations for the causes of the change. Some scientists have suggested that the Antarctic ice increase may itself be caused by global warming, which of course is true. I know it sounds weird, but actually, scientifically, it is true, because global warming puts more moisture in the air. Then what happens is it begins to snow, particularly in the polar regions, and snow keeps snowing. Anyway, eventually turns into ice. Becoming increasingly apparent, said one of the scientists, that long-term cycles in ocean temperatures are responsible for a significant proportion of the ice decline in the Arctic, a process, however, that may be starting to reverse. We are right on time, folks, if we are considering what we just brought to you on side one and a little bit on side two for major and very, very nasty global changes to start to really accelerate. Anyway, climatologists based their doom-laden predictions on Earth climate on computer simulations. But these have long since been the subject of ridicule because of their stunning failures to predict the cause of the warming. Nearly 18 long years on some measures since the turn of the century. But actually, the Earth is not warming, it's cooling. You don't hear about that one, really. If the U.S. temperature records have been found to have been manipulated, this is unlikely to greatly affect our overall picture of rising temperatures at the end of the last century and at a standstill thereafter until lately when they are declining. Anyway, government data shows U.S. in decade-long cooling. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's most accurate up-to-date temperature data confirm that the United States has been cooling for at least the past decade. The NOAA temperature data are driving a stake through the heart of alarmists claiming accelerated global warming. We've probably already gone through any of that, and they pay no attention to the sun, and they don't pay any attention to the destroyer, which they, of course, cannot even admit is there. Anyway, responding to widespread criticism that its temperature station readings were corrupted by poor sighting issues and suspect adjustments, the NOAA established a network of 114, another 411 actually, pristinely sighted temperature stations spread out fairly uniformly throughout the United States. These are known as the U.S. Climate Reference Network. It's been cooling, folks. The United States has cooled by approximately 0.4 degrees Celsius, which is more than half of the claimed global warming of the 20th century. Of course, 10 years is hardly enough to establish a long-term trend. Nevertheless, 10-year cooling period does present interesting facts. First, global warming is not so dramatic and uniform as all the alarmists claim. For example, prominent alarmist James Hansen claimed in 2010 global warming on decadal timescales is continuing without let-up, effectively illustrating the monotonic and substantial warming that is occurring on decadal timescales. The word monotonic means, according to Merriam-Webster, having the property either of never increasing or never decreasing as the values of an independent variable or the subscripts of the terms increased. Well, they actually did decrease by 0.4 degrees, so he wasn't really telling the truth. But then again, it's politically driven, folks, not factually driven. Houston, Texas. As illegal immigrants continue to spill across the U.S.-Mexican border, federal authorities are attempting to relocate the migrants from South Texas to housing facilities in states across the nation. One such facility is located in Murrieta, I guess, California, where a large group of protesters recently blocked a bus full of migrants from arriving. The protesters remain there, adamant that illegal immigrants are not going to get dumped in their town. But soon, the concerned citizens will be forced to step down. It has been learned that federal agents plan to arrive on Monday with riot gear to ensure that another busload makes it to the housing facility. This is near civil war, folks. We are nearing civil war, and I believe that's exactly what Barack Hussein Obama wants. He is a destroyer. He's doing all of this deliberately. He is a Muslim. We got some news about what he's done there, too. It's amazing what's going on there. Anyway, feds are angry that they haven't been able to use this facility. Officers out there warned the people, federal agents are going to be here on Monday, and they're going to get the next bus through no matter what. Riot gear and shields will be used to push the crowd back. One other resident said that he'd been told the same thing by local police. They're apparently going to be blocking off the street with concrete blockade so no vehicles can get through. River County Sheriff's Department showed up last night. They brought in a huge watchtower that shoots up 35 feet in the air. Six protesters have been arrested. Residents expressed frustration at the fact that illegal immigrants are being rewarded for breaking the law. After illegally crossing the border, they receive a slew of taxpayer-subsidized benefits like housing, food, education, vocational training, and legal counsel. and then they are released on U.S. soil. When a U.S. citizen breaks the law, on the other hand, they pay the price. If any one of us were to roll through a stop sign, we're pulled over and ticketed. Anyway, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the CBP, will be relocating illegal immigrants from Texas to California. Anyway, you want to look out, folks. We are a nation descending rapidly into total lawlessness, and that means, in case you don't know it, probably they are fomenting revolution. This is what they want. Drive a wedge. The protocols of the Elders of Sion said, drive a wedge between the citizens and the government. Drive a huge web, separate them, so that the citizens eventually rise up and then crush them like bugs. It's going down, just the way they planned it. Last Friday, San Diego's Local 1613 of the National Border Patrol Council issued a press release announcing that a Border Patrol agent had contracted scabies in connection with the transfer of detained illegals accompanying alien children from Texas Rio Grande Valley. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this. This is one thing we brought to you last week on Global Report. You have to be, they're spreading diseases. Public safety is their number one concern. Despite following proper protocol, sometime during routine processing, the first group of 140 immigrants from Texas, a Border Patrol agent did contact scabies and was confirmed by a physician. We are doing everything possible to mitigate the exposure. Well, one of the protocols is all detainees will be given vaccinations before being released to the communities. But that's not being done, they said. Then we got another report. Well, maybe it is being done. We're not sure. Establishment pushing cashless society to control humanity. This is about the mark of the beast. Everybody laughs at the mark of the beast. Well, really, folks, you don't want to be laughing about the mark of the beast, because you're either going to take the mark of the beast or you're going to die. One or the other. Maybe of starvation. Maybe of thirst. They're going to close all the loopholes. They've been working very, very hard at this. The global establishment is increasingly pushing the notion of what it calls a cashless society, a world in which all payments and transactions would be conducted electronically, creating a permanent record for governments to inspect and track at will. This is right out of Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. Multiple governments from Africa and Asia to Europe and the Americas are explicitly working towards that goal, and in recent months have joined the effort. Powerful globalist forces and organizations, including the United Nations, are helping along too. However, analysts are warning that the implications of such a shift would be nightmarish for liberty and privacy. Proponents, of course, of the government-enforced move away from physical currency cite a wide array of real and imagined benefits. Why, of course, possible reductions in armed robbery, tax evasion, black market commerce, cost of printing and securing physical cash, and, of course, much more. Critics, though, are warning of the danger and the Orwellian schemes that could be unleashed in a world where out-of-control governments can monitor literally every purchase, transaction, and bit of economic activity. In light of the recently exposed NSA snooping scandal, the possibilities for abuse and total surveillance are more than hypothetical, don't you think? As the supposed debate on the alleged merits of the controversial plot rage on, more than a few governments and central banks are already working hard to reduce reliance on cash among citizens and businesses. Actually, they criticize you if you use cash. The end goal, as they openly will admit, is an ultimate end to all cash transactions, supposedly ushering in the wonderful world of safety and flourishing digital commerce. The darker side is really discussed, but as the move towards a cashless society accelerates, critics are increasingly sounding the alarm. Of course, advocates of abolishing cash have tried to portray the scheme as a natural and organic phenomenon driven largely on its own. It's sort of an evolution in human society, perhaps. In a July 2nd propaganda feature on CNN, the news outfit even included a graphic purporting to show the evolution of a cashless society, highlighting how along each country is on the road to abolishing cash entirely. Apparently, the United States is at a tipping point, while Canada, Belgium, France, Sweden, and others are already almost cashless. Other countries are either at the inception or the transitioning. In reality, though, the trends are hardly taking place on their own. Big business has played a major role. Governments, meanwhile, are largely driving the plot with taxpayer funding. Controversial and deep-pocketed mega foundations are helping to bankroll it all and build some semblance of public support. In September of 2012, the Ford Foundation, which funds everything from reproductive justice to sustainable development schemes, unveiled what it calls Better Than Cash Alliance. On the website, the scheme is described thus: the Better Than Cash Alliance partners with governments, the development community, and private sector to empower people by shifting from cash to electronic payments. Among the organizations involved in the radical partnership are the CIA-linked Ford Foundation, the American taxpayer-funded U.S. Agency for International Development, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and bailed-out megabank Citi, credit card giant Visa, and more. The United Nations is also at the heart of the plot, with the UN Capital Development Fund serving as the alliance's secretariat. Other UN outfits involved in the scheme include the World Food Program, the United Nations Development Program. Several government and official agencies are listed on the alliance's website, including authorities in Colombia, Kenya, Afghanistan, Peru, and Philippines. Some nominally private and aid agencies are also involved. A key tactic in a scheme involves having partner regimes deliver welfare electronically. We believe technology is a central root in our collective efforts to broaden economic, social, and political opportunity to even the poorest and most marginalized people, said Ford Foundation. Moving the public, private, and development sectors from cash to electronic payments is the first step in helping families not only to gain access to formal financial system, but to save and build permanent financial assets. On its website, the UN Capital Development Fund also boasts of its ongoing schemes to attack cash. Bringing about the swift to electronic payments on a global scale and ensuring that these benefits are maximized can be accelerated by an organization dedicated exclusively to providing global advocacy, knowledge sharing, collaboration, and guidance on effective practices. The goal of the plan, the UN says, is to encourage governments, development organizations, and the private sector to commit to digital transition and facilitates the translation of these commitments into action. In other words, we're going to get rid of cash and we're going to bring in the mark of the beast, which is, by the way, a financial mark no man can buy or sell, save he that has the mark. All over the world, the shift is indeed taking place. In May, under the guise of stopping tax evasion and black markets, Israeli authorities became the latest to join the push for curbing the use of cash in the economy. As part of the controversial plot to essentially abolish cash transactions in Israel, a committee led by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's chief of staff, Harel Lacher, finally unveiled its three-part plan. Among other tactics, it would ban cash transactions by businesses and individuals over a certain threshold, with the already low limit to be reduced going forward, and violating that will be a criminal act. In the third world, the anti-cash scheming appears to be making massive inroads as well. On July 1st, in Nigeria, for example, the so-called cashless policy, a 2012 plot by the Central Bank of Nigeria and the Bankers Committee seeking to slash the amount of physical currency in circulation, went into effect in another 30 states. Under the scheme, cash withdrawals from banks for individuals and businesses is being severely limited. Huge fees to use cash are now also going into effect. Separately, of course, the Nigerian Central Bank and commercial banks are also rolling out a massive new scheme to gather biometric data on their customers. We have launched the bank verification number today. Timetable suggests that within 18 months, every customer would have been registered, they said, unveiling the biometric registration plot. This is a day that we would remember for many reasons, not for where we are, but for where we are likely to get from here. Nobody can steal this identity, except he or she steals my fingers, or hand, as the case may be. But this trend is not new. The New American reported in 2010, Swedish authorities have long been working fiendishly towards the goal of abolishing physical currency and all economic privacy by extension. Celebrities, bankers, bureaucrats, labor leaders, and more have all been agitating for a complete ban on all cash. Already, Sweden is reportedly further down the road towards becoming a totally cashless society more than any other nation, with around 3% of transactions now conducted in cash. It is hardly alone. In 2012, it was highlighted that the electronic payment system touted by Canadian authorities is better than cash and the evolution of currency. The Royal Canadian Mint was behind the controversial scheme, hosting a contest to get application developers. North America's best brain power, said in a video, on board in highlighting the supposed potential benefits. Under the plan, users were supposed to be able to use phones or other electronic devices to make even tiny transactions, all but eliminating the need for cash. So, there you got it. It's coming. Indeed, all over the world, similar schemes are already well underway. At the same time, the establishment has been openly promoting human microchipping for years, with the eventual goal of having each person chipped and able to use the device as an ID, a credit card, and more. In 2012, the U.S. government openly announced a plan to start microchipping troops for health purposes. Prisoners are often cited as potential target market. Of course, more than a few Christians have highlighted the prophetic implications, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name, Revelation 13:17, one of the Bible verses frequently cited by critics of the cashless plot. Opponents of the schemes point to the implications for privacy and security, especially in light of the NSA scandal. In a cashless society, literally every transaction will be tracked. If the electricity grid went down, chaos will ensue, and if a government decided to squash dissidents, it would simply cut them off from the economy. The potential for mischief or worse, literally endless. Whether Americans and humanity will put up with it, though, remains to be seen. Well, we do know that the Bible says, yeah, they're going to put up with it all right. Illegal alien disease epidemic. Doctors and nurses have been gagged and threatened with arrest if they talk. The message to doctors and nurses was simple. You talk, you go to jail. The message was delivered by officers of the government security contractors hired to police the Lackland Air Base illegal alien induction facility. Some have spoken up anyway, because the risks are so great. They say the American taxpayers and citizens have a right to know what disease epidemic risk is being brought into our nation. They were interviewed on Fox News. The secret nature of the process is itself of concern to the whistleblowers. One psychiatric counselor said, there were several of us who wanted to talk about the camps, but the agents made it clear we would be arrested. We were under orders not to say anything. Security guarding the workers is provided by Baptist Family and Children's Services, a contractor hired by HHS. They're referred to by themselves and others within the facility ominously as the Brown Shirts. Baptist Family and Children's Services, Brown Shirts. Well, there you go, apostates. Counselor said it was very submissive atmosphere once you stepped onto the grounds. You abided by their laws. You know, the Brown Shirt laws. Upon entry to the facility, all cell phones and all other communication devices are confiscated, and anyone caught with a phone is immediately terminated. Everyone was paranoid. Children had more rights than the workers. The infectious diseases that are still being brought in include measles, scabies, chickenpox, strep throat. Mental health and emotional conditions are also being diagnosed, and many may not be treated. Counselor described watching lice crawling down the hair of children that she was attending to. Former nurse called it a lice epidemic. You could see the bugs crawling through their hair. After we would rinse out the hair, the sink would be loaded with black bugs. A former nurse said, we had so many kids coming in, there was no way to control all of the sickness, all this stuff coming into the country. We're very concerned at one point about strep going around the base. The nurse described how when they found out the kids had scabies, the charge nurse was adamant, you don't mention that, you don't say scabies. But everyone knew they had scabies. Some of the workers were very concerned about touching things and picking things up. They asked if they should be concerned, and, oh, don't worry about that, no problem. Well, now we got a Border Patrol agent who evidently, I guess, does have a problem, doesn't he? But, oh well, that's not a problem. No problemo. Anyway, the counselor noticed children who she recognized as being suicidal, recommended they be sent to a psychiatric unit. Rather than treat one boy, she pointed out, he was placed with a family in America. It was at that point that she filed a Child Protective Services report, quit her job, concerned that her license was at risk if the child later committed suicide. She kept a detailed journey about what was going on inside the Lackland facility and remarked, when people read the journal, they're going to be astonished. I don't think they would believe that's going on in America. She reports she was later contacted by federal agents who demanded she return to Lackland and surrender her journal. She refused and has not returned to Lackland. They're going to crush the system. We can't sustain it. They're overwhelming the system. I think it's a travesty, she said. Islamic State jihadists reportedly are mowing down more than just the people who oppose them. Militants with the Islamic State jihadist group have demolished shrines and mosques holy to Shiite Islam, their sworn enemy, and posted a detailed online photo essay depicting before and after shots of the destruction. that involve bulldozers and explosives. Now, here's one for you you wouldn't believe. You're not going to believe this. I don't think a lot of people believed me when I said that Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim. He's a Muslim, and yet he isn't. He's a man of all faith. But he is highly protective of Islam. Obama gives Muslim nation $195 million in honor of the Muslim holiday. According to reports, President Obama has decided to give $195 million taxpayer dollars to Syria to celebrate the Muslim holiday Eid al-Fitr. Michelle and I send our warmest greetings to the Muslims celebrating Eid al-Fitr, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that right, here in the United States and around the world. Former Obama, or President Obama, said in an official White House release, during the past months, Muslims have honored their faith through prayer and service, fasting, and time spent with loved ones to help the many Syrians in need of this Eid al-Fitr, whatever. The president continues, the United States is providing an additional $195 million in food and other humanitarian aid, bringing our humanitarian contribution to the Syrian people to over $1 billion since the crisis began. Once again, it appears that Obama is unilaterally deciding what is best for the United States. Well, what do you think? Are there better ways to spend tax dollars? Then we had, of course, the Islamic State calling on Muslims worldwide to move to his new caliphate and wage jihad against all the infidels. What do you think about that? Well, he probably will. These people are not fooling, folks. Al-Qaeda tells terrorist cells within the United States to start wildfires. Al-Qaeda has instructed their terrorist cells within the United States to start making wildfires. Why now and not years ago, when we all thought the war on terror had begun? Obama's invitation to illegal immigrant children to enter our country has permitted Muslim terrorists easy passage into the United States, Jeremiah. These terrorists go so far as to actually learn Spanish in order to appear as if they are illegal immigrants, according to congressional reports. Like we don't have enough problems as it is, global banks have become an enterprise criminal mafia. In August 2012, I wrote a response to a British Parliamentary Commission public request for evidence concerning the state of British banking industry. In that document, I made the following assertions. British banking sector has become an organized criminal enterprise, which has been allowed to develop because of criminogenic environment in which it functions, which has resulted from the absence of any meaningful regulation, which those who control and manage the banks would fear. This organized criminal category, I include the various misspelling or misselling cases, including pensions, PPI insurance, interest rate swap derivatives, criminal manipulation by Barclays and other banks of the LIBOR interest rate structures, institutionalized levels of money laundering, as identified in the HSBC case, serial abuse of the U.S. sanctions provision as indicated in the Standard Charter Bank case, as well as many other examples of criminal actions, such as the theft of client funds, teaming and lading, abuse of client instructions, insider dealings, front-running, churning, and market manipulation, which have now become the subject of international regulatory interventions. I supported all those assertions with three examples of internationally accepted definitions of organized crime. Perhaps not surprisingly then, the Parliamentary Commission conveniently lost my submissions subsequently claimed they had not received any evidence from me at all. Later, when it was miraculously discovered to have been in their possession all the time, they told me that large parts of the report would actually need to be redacted because it contained evidence which the banks would not like. I now realize that I was wrong about one element of my reporting. It was not just the British banking industry that had become an enterprise criminal mafia. The definition extends to a considerable number of global banks as well. Today we learn of the settlement raised against Banks Paribas, BNP, for their part in overly abusing U.S. laws and sanctions requirements. The French bank is likely to pay $8 billion to $9 billion as part of a potential settlement with U.S. authorities over violations of sanctions. U.S. authorities are probing whether BNP Paribas evaded U.S. sanctions relating primarily to Sudan between 2002 and 2009, and whether it stripped out identifying information from wire transfers so they could pass through the U.S. financial system without raising red flags. The investigation has turned up more than $100 billion in books and records violations, transactions involving Sudan, Iran, and Cuba. Probes are being conducted by authorities including the U.S. Justice Department, U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan, the U.S. Treasury Department, Manhattan District Attorney's Office, the New York Department of Financial Services. Well, you and I both know nothing is going to be done about any of it. Please consider seriously the reason why these elite institutions are not discussed in the mainstream press, despite the immense financial and political power they wield. There are sick and evil occultists running the Western world. They are power-mad lunatics, something from a kid's cartoon, with their fingers on a nuclear button. Armageddon is closer than you and I thought. Only God can save our souls from their clutches, at least that's my considered opinion. Interesting. Scientists are now saying that the number of big earthquakes have doubled in 2014. However, the cause remains very elusive. If you think there have been more earthquakes than usual this year, you're right. A new study finds there were more than twice as many earthquakes in the first quarter of 2014 as compared with the averages since 1979. We have recently experienced a period that has had one of the highest rates of great earthquakes ever recorded, said lead study author Tom Pierce Parsons, a research geophysicist with the U.S. Geological Survey in Menlo Park, California. But even though the global earthquake rate is on the rise, and another indication how close we are to the time of the end, the number of quakes can still be explained by random chance. Findings were published online June 21st in the journal Geophysical Research Letters. With so many earthquakes rattling the planet in 2014, Parsons actually hoped he might find the opposite, that the increase in big earthquakes come from one large quake setting off another huge shaker. But earlier research has shown that seismic waves from one earthquake can travel around the world and can trigger tiny tremblers elsewhere. As our group has been interested in the ability of an earthquake to affect others at a global scale, we wondered if we were seeing it happening. But they don't think it's what it was. Anyway, the new study isn't the first time researchers have tried and failed to link one earthquake to another in time and across distance. Earlier studies found that the biggest earthquakes on the planet, magnitude 8 and magnitude 9, typically will trigger much smaller jolts, tiny magnitude 2s and magnitude 3 rumblers. Yet no one has ever proven that large quakes unleash another large quake. Finding a statistical connection between big quakes is a step towards proving such connections can actually take place. But despite the recent earthquake storms, the world's great earthquakes still seem to strike at random. The average rate of big earthquakes, those larger than magnitude 7, has been 10 per year since 1979. The study reports that rate rose to 12.5 per year starting in 1992, then it jumped to 16.7 in 2010, a 65% increase compared to the rate of 1979. This increase then accelerated in the first 3 months of 2014 to more than double the average. The rise in earthquakes is statistically similar to the results of flipping a coin. Well, not according to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was, I would say rather blunt about it all. Really, very, very blunt about it all. So, he said, you're going to see massive earthquakes in various places. As we approach the time of the end, it seems like with this increase for the last decade or more, that it's a fulfillment of biblical prophecy about the last days. But, of course, who reads the Bible anyway? A mysterious sound is driving people insane, and it's spreading, and nobody knows what's causing it. I brought you this news last time, I believe it was. This is another article on it from the Paranormal. Hum investigators, like University of Oklahoma geophysicist David Deming, suspect that there's a global source responsible for the hum worldwide. It's a very, very low wavelength noise, perhaps between 50 or 56 hertz. And it's extremely difficult to stop infrasound because it can have a wavelength of up to 10 meters. You'd need a wall 2.5 meters thick, built with normal materials just to keep it out. It gets into our wooden houses very easily. As part of the reason people have so much trouble identifying the source of it is because of how low the frequency of the hum is. It literally moves right through your head before you can figure out which ear picked it up first. Deming's research, considered close to authoritative in the hum community, suggests evidence of the hum corresponds with accidental biological consequence of the take charge and move out TAP-CHEMO system of the U.S. Navy. Well, people are hearing loud noises from the heavens. They are hearing all kinds of stuff that is very abnormal. No explanations are ever given. Nobody seems to know where they're coming from or why. We do have noise, of course, that totally irresponsible woman, prophetess of the Native Americans, who said that the earth was going to begin to talk and roar and make loud noises and bumps that go in the night. But, of course, what could she know? She also said that there'd be sinkholes developing and rifts that would tear apart the earth. Can't go a couple days without seeing another sinkhole. And we are having rifts develop in various places all over the planet. But, of course, what could she know about any of that? Alaska, another powerful earthquake shook the northwest Arctic early this month. Fourth magnitude 5.5 quake to rock the region in 6 weeks. It's a mystery, they say, to the scientists. We can't figure that one out. Earth weakening magnetic field, dramatic dips spotted across the western hemisphere. Probably going to damage quakes or the satellites. I'll close with this one. The NSA gathered startlingly intimate data on ordinary citizens. They know everything about you. But that's okay. Right? just because they know everything about you, well, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to come for you. But then again, they might thank you all for your support throughout all these years. Without you, we wouldn't be here already. But we're going to continue until we can't continue anymore. See you again next week, Lord willing.